Freeway, Northwest London, Friday, 22nd of November, Chof Dalet Cheshvan, Erev Shabbos Kodesh Pasas Chai Sora, Rabbi Dov Ber Cowan, Reclaiming Lovon's Brocha. Reclaiming the Brocha of Lovon.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's a covered rubber waste to be here. It's nice to see so many of you. So, of course, we're now in the parsha of Chai Sora, parsha of Shiduchim. One of the great joys I have in my job is the ability to attend so many weddings for our Talmidim going forward in the past couple of years. And since joining JLE, I've had a chance to watch many of them grow. And I've been zoche to be part of a lot of weddings and been asked to join in many different roles in a lot of different weddings. So, of course, we know that the minhag is that when Deccan happens, and the chassan goes up to the kala and places the veil over the kala, which of course we get also from this week's parsha, Parsha's Chayei Sara. We also see that we give a bracha to the kala. The bracha is Achoseinu at Hayil Alfei Revava V'Yirash Zarech Es Shal Soinav. We say, your sister, you should be Alfei Revava, the myriads of thousands of thousands of myriads, and you should inherit the gates. Your descendants inherit the gates of all those that hate them. So it's very interesting. We know that the makor, the root of this bracha, the source of this bracha, is Lavan Harasha, Lavan Haramai, the greatest trickster that we know of in the Torah, is the one who says this bracha to Rivka Imenu. As we all know, she's heading off now. She's leaving. She's going to marry Yitzchak. She's leaving with Eliezer, and we see that she receives this bracha from Lavan. And I have to tell you, it's been for me, I'm sure everyone here has asked this question before. I have no doubt this is something we've all thought of and asked before. Again, before coming here, I was asking around, have you thought of this before? Yeah, and a lot of people have this question, but have thought of it, maybe people have answers themselves. I'd be fascinated at the end if you want to share even more answers. But it's a strange thing if you think about it. That we're giving, you know, when you think about come up to the wedding, we're so careful, everything, we have what we say, all the kavanas, getting ready, that under the chuppah everything should be perfect, it should be glut, it should be clean, there should be any shemitz, any sort of impurity that should go into the beginning. This is we're seeding the DNA of a couple as they're getting married, starting off together. We want to be so careful with every word we choose, everything we say. And yet, when it comes to this ultimate bracha we're going to give to the kala, she's about to get married, and we use the words of Lavan. That's the best we can do. That's the best we can find. There's no other place in the whole of Tanakh, in the Chazal, somewhere, another bracha that would be more matin, something be a bit more suitable to say to our kala, rather than the words of Lavan. We can't find something else, another bracha that we can give to her, that we can allow her to share.
I was going to say, we also learn Sheva brachas from Lavan,
Vayetze, right. I'm going to come in a minute also to more things we learn from Lavan. It's a fascinating topic. I mean, really, as often happens with these, you open up the door and there's so many avenues to go down. So we're going to have to, with some time, we're going to have to try and just focus a little bit on a few mahalchim here. But it's a fascinating topic. What is, why we can't find any better bracha to choose than the bracha of Lavan? You know, the krumkeit of Lavan. You think of all the middle, you know, ras, like the krumkeit, that's why we're going to start off the wedding with a bracha from someone so krum. And I have to be honest with you, over the past couple of years, when I've gone forward together with the Rabbanim, when we say the bracha, I always felt a bit strange saying these words that I know are words that come from Lavan. I always found it was a little bit strange. The question gets stronger, I feel, when you see there's a medrash. The medrash in Bereishis Rabbah says, Rabbi Barachia, Rabbi Levi, B'shem Rabbi Chama Bar Chanina, Rivena lo nifkada Rivka ad shenispalalei Yitzchak. Why wasn't Rivka able to have kids until Yitzchak davened for her? Shelo yuav de kochavim omrim tfilaseinu astap beirois. No one should think that it was Lavan's bracha that caused Rivka to become pregnant and to have children. No one should think that. Therefore, Hashem caused it that Rivka wasn't able to have children for all those years, because they want anyone to think that Lavan's bracha was mekayim. So therefore, Once Yitzhak starts davening, then the bracha comes, and they have children. But no one should think that the bracha was Lavan's bracha. So it makes the question even stronger. We're gonna give the bracha to the bracha. It's a bracha which we see that we have to get Yitzhak to daven in order almost to cancel out the bracha that we're giving to the kala. So this is a big question. It bothered me. It's bothered me for the past couple of years. I thought this morning we'd share it together. There's three mahalkim that I want to go down with you today. All different places, and maybe then we'll have a sort of mahalach, and hopefully we'll feel a bit more empowered as well. Metz Hashem, the aim is we're going to feel empowered by some of the answers. So, going down different mahalachim. So one of them we see from Rabbi Yosef Nehemia Kornitzer. So he says an answer which I saw in a few different places that's brought down. It says that when Lavan was given the bracha, when he says Achaseinu At, when he gives that bracha, he's basically saying, since most, the idea is most sons go after the uncles, so Lavan knows that this bracha that's been given to Avraham Avinu, he knows that Rivka's marrying into this family where she's going to have, Metz Hashem, lots of children, Kechol Hayam, she's going to have lots of children. So he wants it to be that the children will be like him. And he's giving a bracha, all the little kinderlach you're going to have, and the einikach, and everyone, it will be like me, like Lavan Arasha. I'm going to give you the bracha that you should have lots and lots of children, and then you should be little mini Lavans running around, generation after generation, lots and lots of mini Lavans. I'm giving you that bracha that you should have it. And therefore, he says here, Amartish al Kain, this is Rav Yosef Nechem Akornitz, it says, Amartish al Kain nahagu chashuvei ha'ir livarecha kala. Therefore, he says the minhag is when it comes to the chasna, it should be the chashuvei ha'ir that go and give that bracha to the kala. The rabbonim and the chashuvei ha'ir, dafka they should come over and give the bracha, right? To leman the taken klalas lavan, they should be coming to fix the bracha of lavan. It's a tikkun when we come forward, we're fixing that bracha of lavan, and dafka the chashuvei ha'ir are saying your children should be like us. So you should have tzaddikim. You should have children that are of the Hashem davka. We're taking the words of Lavan, but we're emptying it of his meaning and we're filling it instead with our meaning, saying your children should be tzaddikim. Your children should davka be people that are running after to do your will, Hashem. It's very interesting. I was asking also around different minhagim, different kehilas have different minhagim. I know, for example, Chabad do not say this bracha to the kalas, and not all Sephardish kehilas do it. Anybody here know if there are other different kehilas that don't say this bracha davka? I did ask around beforehand. Not everyone got back to me, but as far as I know, most Ashkenazi kehilas do say it.
Reforms.
What's that?
Reforms.
That's a good point. I don't know if they maybe did. So we see here that the answer from Rabbi Yosef Nechem Akornitzer is that, you know, Lavan's giving the bracha, you should be like me. So we say, we bring the tzaddikim, we bring the rabbonim, and they come forward and they say, you should be dafka like us and go forward. So therefore, we're taking the meaning of the words, but we're emptying out Lavan's kavona, and we're being misakim, we're putting in our kavonis instead. Okay, that's one. The Chasam Sofer has another, there's another answer to the Chasam Sofer, which is similar. Okay, and he says that he says the following thing. He says, "L'chora yipale." It's a wonder. Madua bacharu rak bebirkas lavan abracha achasinanu. Is it the only one bracha we've got? The question I was really asking. There's only one bracha which we really got. So he says the Chasam Sofer. His answer is, "V'aleman lahafach birchasol lebirchasenu anu amrim achasenu." Chelek shelanu shul chelek Yaakov ze ye. The understanding is that Lavan knew there was going to be a bracha. Lavan knew there was going to be twins. He knew there was going to be an Esav, and he knew there was going to be a Yaakov. And he knew that Esav's the one. He's the one like us. He's going to be the one like us. So Achoseinu is saying at tiel al feiravava. He's saying that one that you're going to have, it's going to be like us. That Esav that's going to be born. He's the one that should get the brachas. He's the one that all the brachas are given to Avraham Avinu should go through Esav because he's similar to us. And you should go through him. And so what we do is, again, we come forward, the Chashuv Ayim, we say to the Kala, no, we're like Yaakov, we're the sons of Yaakov, we're from Bnei Yaakov. And therefore, the bracha should go like Yaakov's direction, instead of Esau's direction, should go Yaakov's direction, and take us into that Kabbalah. It's very interesting that I had... Well, he knew he had certain ability to understand. He knew there were certain things he understood and knew. In fact, hold that thought for one second. I'm going to come back to that really, really soon. So it's an interesting point. He was a Navi, but we're seeing that later. I'm going to touch on this, that Laban is also associated with another character in the Torah, who we say was a Navi of the nations. So it's very interesting. I heard a member of Meir Goldwicht, he says, Revava, they say, Achaseinu at heila alfei Revava, Revavka is Roshi Tevos, Rivka bas Pesuel Harami. So they're saying, you should be, right, the children that come from you, remember, you're Rivka bas Pesuel Harami. It's all going to come through Pesuel. Pesuel's, all the negativity of Pesuel, who he is and what he is, that's where the bracha should be coming from. That's the direction of the bracha that's going to be going through the generations. Remember, Revava, Rivka, Bas, Pesuel, Arami. Don't forget, you know, people say, don't forget where you've come from. Don't forget who you are. And Lavan Seinta, don't forget, you have the prestige of coming from Pesuel, this very negative character. But he's our father, and you should go down that direction. Very interestingly, we see that in Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov comes to Choron, and he comes to the Be'er, he comes to the well, and he asks if they know Lavan, what does he say? Hayadatim es Lavan?
Ben
Nachor. The grandfather. That doesn't say es Lavan ben Besuel. He should say, it makes no sense. He was Lavan ben Besuel, everyone knew that. But he says, Hayadatim es Lavan ben Nachor. So Kli Yaakov says, very interesting. Kli Yaakov there says, Venera shalosh shalam im hem makirin oisoloi. He wasn't asking, do you know Lavan? Of course you know Lavan. You're arguing in Choron. Lavan's the big guy in Choron. Everyone knows Lavan. So what's he saying? He chashav pshita sha'an she mekom makirin oisoloi. Ach she shalam al ma'asav v'al yachas sheloi. Ki al ma'asav sha'al im hu miseches achar Nachor. So Nachor is the brother of Avraham. Shaya ish tam v'yosha. Interesting. Saying that Nachor was an ish tam v'yosha. He was a terrible, horrible character. And he's actually asking, this, when meeting Lava now, is he more like Besuel, is he more like Nachor? So Yaakov understood that Beis Besuel stands for something. Beis Besuel is this negative, very, very, something you need to run away from. And also it must appear that Rivka's educating Yaakov the whole way through, saying, you know, I come from a certain house, but then we don't ever want to be like that. We don't want to be like the house of Besuel. So just to summarize, from step A, first section of the answer is that we take the words of the bracha. The words themselves are precious words. We're saying that you should have many children, you should have lots and lots of, you know, myriads and myriads and myriads of children. And instead of taking the kavana, almost the power of the bracha from Lavan and all his evil intentions, we take tzaddikim, we take the best, the chashuvei ir, and we're misakin that bracha by saying, you should be like us, you should be like us, you should be tzaddikim, the children that come for you should be tzaddikim. So that's one mahalach. So let's go forward to the next mahalach. It's an interesting idea I saw in, it's a sefer from, it's called, a sefer was called Bishur Melech, from Rav Meislis, and he says the following in the sefer. The idea of giving the bracha to the kala is from Lavan and Besuel. Interesting enough, they always say Besuel had already died at that point. Okay, whether Besuel was alive or not, that's not the discussion today. But the idea that we give this bracha to the kala from Lavan, כדי שלא יעלה על לב בני אדם לחשוב דפירקס חסנים או יעשה רושם רק כשצדיקים הגדולים מברכים או יעשה. A person might think that, you know, the bracha you give, it has to be it's almost lehefach to what you just said in the first stage. It's only the tzaddikim na chashuv ha'yeir. He's saying, you know, it's dafka the opposite. You might think that only the tzaddik can give the bracha, only the choshev, only the massive Talmud Chochum, only he has the koach ha-bracha. That's what you might think. Masha enkein, you might think, yishanashim pshutim kamonu, very simple people like us, mevarchin osa, ma'anu, u'ma bechusein, what are we? What's our bracha? What koach ha-bracha do we have? We don't have anything, we don't know anything, we're not such as Zayt Tzadikim, so we don't have the power of bracha, we haven't got the ability to say anything. Ah! Lazeh amru chazal. Birkas chasani min ha-Torah minayin, mi-ha-pasuk v'yomu la-achosenu, atayeh alvei revava. U-mi hayu mevarchim osav b'suel v'lavan, v'imkein kol shekein, sh'anu ru'im levarech birkas chasani. You may think it's only the tzaddikim, the chashim. No, everybody has that power. Everybody should be given. So according to this, when there's the mama, when there's the bedekin, everybody should be giving this bracha. Everyone should be going forward and giving a bracha to the kala. Everyone should be saying it. It doesn't matter who you are, where you are. We see even the guy, even a lavan, even a rama, even someone so terrible. He has this incredible koyach of bracha. And it's here I want to stop just for a few moments, just to focus in on this point. The incredible koyach habracha that every single one of us has, the ability that we have to give a bracha to another person. When you give a bracha to a person, it's like you're hitting the power switch. You're switching on and allowing the shefa to come down to another person. When you go to someone and you recognize some midah tova, you recognize something good with the person, and you give them that bracha. So you might think, who am I? Who am I to give a bracha? No, other Abba. You have the koach to give a bracha wherever you are, wherever you're from. So in a sefer, right? So the Gemara says in the right, I'm a Rav Elazar, I'm a Rav Chanina. Lo lam alti birkas hediot kala beinecha. Right? Your brachas are precious. Doesn't matter from what, from where you come from, who you know, what you know. Yeah, I was saying now, you know, last night I've been going through this sugya the past couple of days. So last night I met one of my talmidim. There's a guy. It's a shame he'll get there. You know, he's growing slowly. He's had a very, 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 very hard year. He's had a number of tragedies in one year. So I met him last night. He's a person who's very, you know, Beit Hashem will get there. And we met up last night, talking. He's had some very, very difficult times recently. And at the end, as we're walking, I shared with him some of the ideas. I said, I'm working on a shiur, I'm giving a shiur tomorrow. And I shared this idea with him. I said to him, you know, give me a bracha. I want you to give me a bracha now. That should go well. And he was so shocked. He said, no one's ever in his life ever asked him to give a bracha before. So first he started giving something else. He wasn't giving bracha, he was giving some statement. And I said, no, give me a bracha, bless me. And then he gave me a bracha. And as he walked off, I saw him with tears in his eyes. No one's ever asked him to give a bracha before. No one ever would have thought in his mind that he has the ability to give a bracha to somebody else. I saw him walking after, as I said goodbye to him. I saw he had tears in his eyes as he walked down the road. No one's ever lit within him the idea that he has a koya to give a bracha to another person. But what about us? Is the sefer Chovis HaAdam Olamoy? The sefer, it's not the mechaber is anonymous, but he says there, gives us by Rebbe Yerucham. So Rebbe Yerucham would go to, he went to a wedding hall, and he stopped outside the wedding hall and he watched all the people coming in and giving a bracha to the chosen and to the father of the chosen, and he watched all the people coming and giving a mazel tov. And after he turned to one of the people he was with, and he said he reckoned 75% of all the people that came forward to say mazel tov to the chosen, they were like robots. Absolutely no intention. It was like mazel tov, you just say, you're not thinking it, mazel tov, boom, mazel tov. So you stop for a second and think, you're like a robot, you say mazel tov. Don't be like robots. You have to stop for a minute and think about what you're saying. You're going to go and say mazel tov to someone, you're going to Shalom Zocher, you're going to Bris, you're going to Giddish, you're going to Sherebach, you're going to Nufruf. When you go forward and you see that person, you say a mazel tov, you think about it. You ask, we, not you. We've got to think about what we're saying to that person. We're giving them a bracha. Just stop for a second. And before you go up and shake their hand and say mazel tov, think about what bracha you want to give them. Say a few words, you know, elaborate. Tell them how choshev the chosin is, or how happy you are. Give the bracha, mekol alev. Give the bracha, mekol alev, because the bracha has such a koyach. Even love on haramai, his bracha is so strong. So kal v'chomer, even us, the brachas that we give are so powerful. You know, when I was reading through the biography of the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, it's one of the first, you know, biographies I looked through. I was struck by these stories about the Manchester Rosh Hashiva. I was never zoicha to meet the Manchester Rosh Hashiva, but this story said that people, once his grandson came up to him to ask him for a ksiva chesima toiva. So you know, he said, you want to come, give me a bracha for ksiva chesima toiva. So his grandfather stopped and he said, You think it's a small thing to give a bracha for a simchat Torah? It's a small thing. I'm going to give you a bracha for your year, for your parnasa, for your health, for everything for the year ahead. What, I can just give you a simchat Torah, I can just say it? And he'd stop for a moment, and he felt like, thought it through, and was thinking about what kind of bracha, and then he gave the bracha with chesima toiva, after having thought about it, and really just wondered, what's the bracha I need to give this person? It's so powerful, this idea. We just throw the bracha, it should be well, it should be healthy, we can mean it, we can put the meaning behind it. It's such a powerful thing. We have this koach in our hands to be able to do this. They said that when someone once came to the Manchester Yeshiva to get a bracha for his family, he had a list of all these children. He'd written down the names of the children and the ages, and he gave it to the Manchester Yeshiva to look at, and he'd read it. And a few days later, he met this person in the street with one of the sons, and he said to him, "This must be Shmuley." He said, "How do you know?" Because when he read the list, he saw that there was a Shmuley age 10. And he remembered it when he gave the bracha. He was thinking about the family. It wasn't just there's a whole list of people there. I'll just give a random bracha. He thought about it through every day. When you give that bracha, the Abbas Rabbi Nassan says, not even just a bracha. The Abbas Rabbi Nassan says, "Velozu bilvad elam hamakabelis chaveru bepanim yafois." Afilu Nassan loy klum ma'alev hakasuf kilu Nassan matanas toivos shibaolam. And if you don't give someone something, but you makabel them with a smile, with a warm face, with a warm greeting, just even that's a bracha. Just think of the koach that can happen when we're showing people respect and love. Has such a powerful impact on other people. They say about the sub Mr. Vodka, they say that when he would walk around, he would walk past the house of Rosh Hashiva, and he would go in to say good morning, say Boker Tov, he'd go in. Right? So once, a couple of times, he went there was no one in the house, so he stood outside the house, and he said Boker Tov to the house. So one of the Tonys said, "What do you do?" Say Boker Tov to the house. He said, "Look," he said, "I'm standing here right now, I'm thinking about the Rosh Hashiva. Okay, he's not in front of me now, but I'm thinking of him. I say, Boker Tov, I want to wish the Rosh Hashiva a good morning. Even where I am right now, I'm not next to him, I'm not standing next to him, but I'm thinking of him, I'm saying a Boker Tov, I look at his house, and I say Boker Tov to the house, and Boker Tov to him, and Boker Tov to his family, and to everyone around him. He should have a good day." It's the koach of the bracha that we have. And not even just a bracha from a Jew, not just a posh Jew, but even from a goy. Rishami in Brachos Perik Ches Halacha Ches says there Tana Goy should be Reches Hashem Oyne Acharav Amen. Even when a Goy gives a bracha, he's Berach Hashem. You say Amen after his bracha. He also, even if a Goy would give a bracha to a person, they have also a koch. We see this from Lavan, right? This is what we're learning out here, that even Lavan has an impact. His bracha has an impact. So how much more so do we have that impact? Finally, the last point here. I've got hopefully enough time just to cover it. Okay, the Kliyaka. It's the last point. That was B, this is C. Kliyaka says on this pasuk regarding the bracha of love and the love it gives to Rivka. We saw so by the end of the Akedah, the same lashon, the same words of Meresorech as Sha'ar. Well, there in by the Akedah it says Oivav. Here it says Soinav. That's a whole different shir, probably one for someone else to do about the difference between Oivav and Soinav and why it's different. But we see the same lashon of Ayash Zarech. Okay, so the Kliyaka. In the Akedah it's Sha'ar Oivav, and here it's Soinav. It's an interesting point. We can maybe come back another year and discuss that one. Okay. Kikach Hamida v'chol goyim lechesed sheyesh lahem ohavim rabim. Avram haya goyim lechesed l'chol hakroivim v'rechokim. Avram, how did he conquer his foes? Says the Kliyaka. Not lav davka with the sword, lav davka with the arrows and the guns. Chesed, ava, love. That's how he conquered. That's how he conquered the people. And so therefore the bracha is the same thing for Rivka. Rivka, how are you going to conquer? How are you going to have to inherit the gates of all your foes? The chain Rivka, al kain baderech teva, yeshu shaar oveihem. In the same way of Avram, you too should inherit the gates of your foes through chesed. Rivka, you are chesed. Right? If there's any personality in the Torah that we associate with chesed, Avram Avinu, also Rivka Imenu. Ki yesh lahem re'im rabim ha'omdim lahem beis sarasam. When you have friends, when you make friends, when you are going al chesed, you increase your circle of influence and they stand by you. They become your friends, they become your supporters through love, through chesed. Says the Kliyaka, Elevare Shalot Dibu Biyotze Chalatzea. They weren't talking, Lavan wasn't talking about children, because he knew that Avram would be given the bracha that they should have many, many, many children. He wasn't talking about the children. He was talking Dafka about all those that will be influenced by Rivka. Because when you go and you start your life together, Rivka, you're going to bring children to the world, bring more children to the world, Metz Hashem. And they, and everyone that comes from you, should influence and do chesed, because there's a purpose, there's a reality, there's a purpose to life. We're here to give, we're here to do. There's a reason why we're here. Rivka, you live that. And now we can understand how much more so why this bracha is so precious to us. And even more than that. Going back to the Sefer Bishur HaMelech, he says something incredible. It says here, so Kadosh Baruch Hu Sholech Neshama Le'olam Hazeh. When Hashem sends a neshama to this world, listen to this. When a neshama gets sent down, it's sitting up, basking in the glory up in the Shemaim, right? It's the neshama, it's the olam, the neshama is very happy. And suddenly gets picked up and said, right, you're going down into the world. Again, it gets a bracha. It says it gets, what bracha does it get? The bracha gets his. Right? He doesn't want to go down. They give the bracha to the neshama before it comes down. This bracha. Absolutely incredible. You go down this world and you bring many people into this world. You bring many more neshamas to your chesed, to your love. You've got a job to do. You're a neshama up here in the Olam Hashem's great. You've got to go down to this world and you've got to have an action. You have things to do in this world. You've got to do chesed. You've got to increase. Yedi'is Hashem. V'inei yadua divrei kedushas Levi. The tears of the chasen. The bechias of the chasen is that in the future all these neshamas he's going to bring to the world, the neshamas are going to come down from Shemaim. They don't want to come down to this world. So the tears are those tears for those future neshamas. Right? They don't want to come down. These words, Achoseinu at, kedei lefais neshamos ha'elu, dugmas hapius shemalachim mefaisim neshamos. Same thing that at the wedding, there's all these future neshamos hovering around, and there's future neshamos that are kind of going to be unhappy to come down to this world. So mefais, not just the kala, we're not talking just the kala. When we say the bracha of Achoseinu at, we're not just talking to the kala. We're talking to all the future neshamas that are going to come down, Metz Hashem, from this chasen and kala, and saying to all those future neshamas, you're going to come down, and yes, you're not going to be happy about it, but you've got a job to do. There's something here. There's a job to do when you come down to this world, to increase chesed, to increase yedias Hashem, to be marbek for shemaim. You've got a job to do. Yes, you don't want to come down, but there's stuff to do here in this world. There's things that we have to do in this world. That's the third part. So just to summarize what we said just now, just to go through a quick summary. We saw here that, just to summarize, okay, so the first one we said was Achoseinu At, Lavan was discovered to himself, and therefore we get the Chashuvah here, the Tzadikim, and they, instead, we take the shell of the words, and we take out Lavan's intentions, and we put in our intentions, and we give the bracha that you should be like us, Tzadikim. The second one is actually the opposite. Say the koch of a bracha, that even if Lavan is the biggest Ramayan, he gets to give a koch of a bracha. So too, even Anashim Pshutim, we are simple people, we should all step forward, and we should all give a bracha to the Kala, that we all have that power of bracha, we all have that koyach. And finally, the third one, the bracha was a statement of purpose. Achoseinu atei la'afei revava, you're going to go out and you're going to conquer people through chesed and love. There's a statement of purpose. We tell each Kala, you are going to bring more chesed and love into the world. And also all the neshamas around you will do more chesed. It's a statement of purpose of who you are and what you do. So we see here, you know, we could be like the 75% that Rabbi Yerucham saw. When we give a bracha to somebody, you could be like the 75%. We'll pass someone, you can say something, you don't really mean it, you don't miscover, right? We can understand the incredible koyach that we have in each and every single one of our words. I heard from my good friend, Shusler, just to finish with this, that Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, when he is Atzal, when he was, became somebody that people come to get a bracha from. And he's very, very uncomfortable giving brachas. He's a poisek, he gives tivei halach. What is he giving brachas to people? And then he remembered, like you said, the Gemara Megillah, right? Al tei pekas hedot kal b'enecha. And he said the following thing. He said, when someone gets a bracha, it's like you have a lock and you have a key. And you put the key, if you look at the key has so many bumps and grooves, ups and downs, and so many different elements to it, one key. You know, if you take a look at it, it's going in, out, there are dots in inside. He said every bracha that a person gives is like another groove, another bump in that key. And who knows? Maybe it's your bracha that you'll give to a person will be that final bump, that final groove, that final nick inside the key that will allow the key to go into the door and be open it, and all these shoes will come down. Maybe it's your bracha. Maybe it's my bracha. Maybe it's our bracha. That light, that one thing you say to a person when you really mean it with intent, that could be the key that will open up the door for Yeshua. So Hashem, Hashem should bless every single one of us to be able to give brachas, to receive brachas, and may Hashem to get the ultimate bracha of being together in Yerushalayim.
Thank you.
Okay, my apologies in advance for chaser over last week's aluchas, but now I was loving with a very intricate. Didn't a Hilchas Pesach today, which took a lot of time last night, because he's not saying today. So, Memaila, I'll just suffice with saying something at the end of the Seder, which you will focus instead of the beginning. So, the first Ha'ura is that when Rivko says, in response to the questions which were in sequence and answered in sequence, so he asked Basmi Atuz, whose daughter are you? Agidi Nuli. Tell me, have you got in your father's house Mokum Lunulun? Have you got a place for us to rest, to sleep? And then she said, yes, number one, my name is Bas Besuel, I am Rivko, yeah? And then she said to him, Gam Teven Gam Misboi Ravi Monu. There is straw and there is plenty of fodder with us, Imonu, which is an interesting way of expressing. Usually you would say something that we have is lonu. Imonu is with us is a very strange way of a terminology. Now, I'll answer this question by asking another question. Other questions at the end of the Seder. There it says, Vayiten Avrum es kol asher lo li Yitzchok, that Avrum Avini gave everything that he had to Yitzchok, and just afterwards, the next pusik it says, Velibnei Apilakshim, Asher Lavuam, Lusa Lavuam Matunos. And he gave to Bnei Apilakshim gifts. So the obvious question is, if the Pusik goes out of its way to stress that he gave everything that he possessed to Yitzchok, it's very difficult to understand how could he give anything else to the Bnei Apilakshim if he's already given everything away. Agit Tekasha. Yeah, but it says, first of all, he gave everything that he had to Yitzchak. Rashi has this problem. Rashi therefore goes off to quote a medrash that he gave them a Shem Timur, which means some spooky incantation that they can use if they want to curse, but on the face of it, you speak about Ve'yitin Avum Eskol Asheloi, means he gave everything that he possessed, and then afterwards he gave gifts to the Bnei Apilakshim. Future income. Those are the cushion. So let's
gave them future income.
Future income is you can't give future income because it's too much lebula oilam, so often the gemura. You have to give Paris take. But let's give it to the woman. So now the answer is by way of a story, a very short brief story. There was a master, the Chedishanim had a chusid who was called Leibel Berliner. Now, Leibel Berliner was the man who lived in Poland originally, and then for financial reasons and for commercial interests, he moved to Berlin, and he was a Udom Chush of Moed, but the trouble was that his wife was not necessarily exactly on par with his Ashkufas. And consequently, although when he reached Berlin, in the beginning his son went to some sort of Ostjuder Heiden, but then the influence of Germany got the better of him. And his wife decided that his son has got to study, and he went to university, and he became a Rechtsanwalt, a lawyer, an advocat. And he didn't quite grow up to be what his father was. Now, Leibel Berliner made a fortune of money, and he became a very wealthy, prosperous man, but like Sof Kol Udom, he doesn't live forever, and he passed on to a better world. And the son, who went to his father's portfolio and looked through all the various different things, found that there's a very interesting... he observed that there's a lot of money going out to a place in the shtetl somewhere in Poland called Gora Kalabaria, and he couldn't work out why so much money was going out there. His father was a comfortable man. And so eventually he checked it out and he took his elegant wagon with the horses and they made the trip and they started to go towards Poland to the Chedesh Harim. Got there, so the Chedesh Harim had a couple of kabuim and they asked him what his name was. So he said his name, he's the son of Leopold from Berlin, and gave his surname. And says, Leopold, where is Leopold? He says, what was his Yiddish name? He says, I think it was Leibel. Ah, Leibel Berliner! Ja, warte! And then after they went to the Shirim, they said, Leibel Berliner Zin is du. So they brought him in. And so the Shirim took one look at this young advocate, and he says to him, Wusodat the Tate begelost? What did your father leave for you? So he said, well-to-do man, is a very wealthy man, he left a fortune. He says, yeah, but was noch hat er gelost? He says, what else? What else did he do? He says, oh, listen, if the Rebbe wants a full portfolio, it goes to his attaché case, opens up, and it comes out with the papers. He says to him, he had so much cattle somewhere in the outskirts of Transylvania. He had so much property in the streets in Germany, in Stuttgart, and in Frankfurt, and then also in Berlin. And then he had the gold bars he had put away in another country, and Chedesh Harim is listening carefully to the entire portfolio. And then he says to him, yeah, was noch hat der Tate eben gelost? What else did your father leave for you? So he says to him, ich verstehe nicht, der Rabbiner. So I just listed for you a fortune which would reach the top of the Forbes list before it came. But then now you're speaking to me as if it's negligible, and you ask me what else he left you is not enough. How many people do you know that had a fortune like that? So Risharim looked at him penetratingly with a glass and he says to him, my kind, you missed the point. He says, that what you listed out for me, your father left behind. Das hat eben gelost. This is something which you, your children, and all future generations will leave behind. When I asked you what your father left for you, I was referring to the fact that your father got up in the morning every single day at 4:30 to learn. Then he went and he purified himself and he went into a mikveh tahara and he davened like an elach yid. Your father was Oisik and stuk of a chesed. He married off countless Yesoimen Almunas, and you came here to understand what came here with the monies that he sent here, and the thousands and thousands of rubles that he brought here to Poland. With that, countless mitzvahs were done by feeding poor people and hungry people and marrying off Yesoimen Yesoimen. So I'm asking you, what did your father leave you? Was noch hat die Tate übergelost? That's something that stayed with you. And that, he said, this is the touch of the how you would explain it al pidrish into this week's Seder. What was vayiten avurm es kol asheloi v'yitzchok? He didn't. The what he gave over to Yitzchok was the chesed lavurm, was the fact that he was able to have a child that went up to the Akaide, and that the chinuch that he gave to Yitzchok, the atmosphere of the home, the beauty of Yiddishkeit, everything that the Avraham Avinu had, that was conveyed to Yitzchok. V'nei plakshinus nevumatunas. On the other hand, as far as v'nei plakshinus is concerned, these are all monetary masses. These are all gashmistika things which he had no interest in as far as Yitzchok was concerned. And therefore, there's no steer in that. Which brings us back to the last question which you asked earlier on. Because gam teven gam misboi rav imonu, we asked why it doesn't say lonu. Why is it not for us, it's to us? Because Rivka saw the wherewithal to offer hospitality as a fleeting asset. It's here today and it's gone tomorrow. Exactly as we eat in the room, it's only to be used for mitzvahs of achnusas ochem. And therefore you can't say it's longer because it's not ours. It's imonu. It happens to be at this momentary part of time with us in order to facilitate our ability to perform mitzvahs of achnusas ochem. I should help them with the same. Chubbs.
Really?